I want us to consider Moses for a moment, because there were five difficulties that he overcame. They were hurdles. They were things that would have tripped him up. You're going to say to me, Pastor, how do we know that? We don't know, because we have the value of hindsight. We can go and look at the life of Moses today and we can say, look at a magnificent man. But what if Moses had not overcome these hurdles? What might have happened to him? The Encouraging
And we are just getting started. That voice you've been listening to is the voice of Dr. Don Wilton. And this broadcast, The Encouraging Word, features the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don as we dive into Hebrews today and continue to understand what Moses' life has to do with your life and my life, all about the magnificent dead. Now, while we study God's Word, we want you to know that we're available for you. We're connecting right now online at theencouragingword.org. I pray you'll take a look at the promises of praying for others, a powerful kind of supercharging, revolutionizing of your prayer life. It's available on our website, theencouragingword.org, or you can call right now for your copy at 866-899-WORD. Jot that number down, 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect. And now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
As many of you know, we've been engaged in a marvelous study of the letter to the Hebrews. And during the past weeks or so, our sub-series entitled The Faithful Dead has found us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23 in the life of Moses. And Moses was an extraordinary person, and I nearly entitled my message The Extraordinary Dead. In fact, one of our ministers sent me a note to remind me that I'd mentioned that. And I thought about the word extraordinary, and I thought how extraordinary that is. But I couldn't get away from this word depicting someone like Moses. The word that I chose was the word magnificent, because he truly is magnificent. How do you get more magnificent than magnificent? That word there just conjures up to me all the things of value. In my own heart, things that I pray that perhaps I might be able to come somewhere near close to being. I would love to be considered by God to have been magnificent. That's a tall order. I don't think I'll come anywhere near that. When I look at the life of a man like Moses and what God did through him, what a magnificent individual. And so our subject, the magnificent dead. We are in Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles. Some of you might say, well, Pastor, why do you folks always at First Baptist Church in Spartanburg always have to turn to the Bible? Well, it's very simple, because I've got nothing to say outside of the Bible. In fact, anything that I have to say is pretty useless. And I don't think that I would regard my opinion very seriously, because I'm a sinner. And my opinion is flawed. I've got some good ideas, I'm sure. And we all have good ideas, but I want to tell you that the truth that we need to know about is the truth that is found in the Word of God. And so when we want to go and find out about life and how to conduct ourselves and how to live this life, we always go to this Word. Some people say, what do you believe about this Word? Well, I believe this Word is inerrant. I believe it is infallible. I believe it's the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. I don't believe that I've got any right to add anything to it or take anything away from it. In fact, if I do, I'm going to be cursed according to the Bible. And so when I come down to study a person like Moses, God speaks to my heart, because this is what God wants me to hear. Moses is included in this illustrious Hall of Fame here. And our subject, the magnificent dead, is a huge subject. We began with it last week. We looked at one point. We're going to look just at point number two today. I've got eight of them. Let's read together about the magnificent dead, beginning in verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was a child of God. He was of God. He was a godly child, and by that virtue was no ordinary child. And as a result, they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. For by faith, Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. By faith, Moses, in verse 26, regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, for by faith Moses persevered, because he had seen him who is invisible. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people of Israel passed through the dead Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do the same thing, they were drowned. Point number one that we covered last week, and so I just use it by way of introduction. The magnificent dead, as we find in the life of God's servant Moses. Number one, the magnificent dead know what it means to choose between God and man. The Bible tells us in verse 24, and I believe that this is just simply God setting the standard for all of us. There are crossroads in life. For some of us, those crossroads come very early. Some of us, those crossroads come later on in life. But the greatest crossroad that we encounter in life is to choose between God and man. God's word says, listen, I love you so much that I gave my only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you. And if you believe in him, you will not die. Why? Because the doorpost of your heart, of your life, is going to be sprinkled in the blood of the Lamb. Remember what I did for my children in Egypt. The angel of death passed them by. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, the doorpost of your life is sprinkled in the blood of the Lamb. And the angel of death, eternal death, will pass over you, because you cannot die. You have eternal life. It's a wonderful depiction that God gives to us, going way back to the time of Moses. And the children of Israel and Moses were given that opportunity. The Bible tells us that when Moses was grown up, that he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had to make a choice between God and man, between God and the man who would be God, the man-made God. He said, I am God. God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. There will be no rivalry and no refusal, no resignation as far as I'm concerned. You must make that choice. Point number two. The magnificent dead know what it means to overcome personal difficulties. Now, folks, this is going to be remarkable this morning, I want you to know. And God's going to bless you and speak to your heart. But if we study here what God has to say to us about Moses, we come down to an awfully personal confrontation. Because we discover very quickly as we get into this, and if we go back and study the narrative of Moses in the Old Testament, we're going to discover very quickly that this was a man who not only refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but this was a man who knew what it meant to overcome personal difficulties. Now, I want you to just imagine for a moment, if I was to take a blank sheet of paper like this, and I was to start over here with our chairman of deacons, go to Sal and Steve and Eddie and up and down the rows, and just ask you, I'm going to ask you to do a very simple thing. Very simple. I just want you to write on here some of your personal difficulties. Let me put it in a different way. What is there in your life and in my life that is preventing me, that is preventing you from A, from coming to know Jesus Christ and receiving forgiveness of sin and having eternal life, having the angel of death pass over your life? And if you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, what is there in your life today that is preventing you from coming into that fullness, that joy, that full and meaningful life that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to each one of us? He told us, he said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Well, I know a bunch of people who would say, look, I know Jesus Christ, I've trusted him, I've received him as my Lord and Savior, I know that I'm forgiven of my sin, but man, that business about the abundant life, I'm not sure about that one. Quite frankly, life stinks. I just cannot seem to get a handle on it. I just seem to be tunneling underground. Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard someone say to you, I've got just one vice? I've heard people, including myself, tell other people, you know, I'm not such a bad person after all, but you know, I've just got this one vice in my life. What is it? I know you're all waiting for me to confess, aren't you? Well, folks, you know I've only got one vice. You know that. I've only got one thing wrong with me. Do you know, by the way, just I tell you, I was thinking about this yesterday. My daughter and I went to the Nordlist, and we just had the best time together, and I was at the Nordlist Fitness Center with John Langford, and I just love to be down there and do some exercise, and I'm on there, man, and I'm doing exercises and sit-ups, and you know, folks, can I share with you how many pounds I've lost in the last 8 years? It's somewhere around the 3,000 mark. I'm not exactly sure. I said to myself, you know, Don Wilton, you know, you are forever on diet. Now, let me tell you something. You can get Steve here because he's the world's worst. We'll go on quieter. By the way, I can't wait to go with yesterday's teens, man. That is unbelievable. That's coming up. But we'll go on quieter. I can impress Steve Skinner like you don't know, folks. I mean, we'll go out with the staff. I won't have this, and I'm not going to have that, and I'm going to eat. And I have put about 5,000 chickens into the ministry just in the last 6 months. That's why I'm beginning to cluck. And have you ever eaten broiled fish, folks? It is awful, man. And broiled chicken. There is nothing like a good piece of fried chicken. Somebody say amen. Thank you. I'm building a case, Yada. But you know, I can go. I mean, I've done it this week, weeks before, and I'll say I won't have that. I'm beginning to look like a bunny rabbit. If I see another salad, I don't know what. Do you know, when I walked in here this morning, folks, I nearly started to eat one of these leaves down here. Because that's what I'm going to have for lunch. A man of my caliber. I'm telling you, salads, and then you're not allowed to have, then take this and put that there, and only touch this, and don't eat, and don't touch bread, whatever you do. And don't this, and don't do that. Folks, I've only got one vice, ice cream. You know what happens to me every now and again? I can go, man, I can impress Steve Skinner. You come to my house at about 9 o'clock at night, I'm creeping up the steps with a bowl of ice cream. And the more chocolate stuff it's got in at the bed, and cookies and cream, pralines and cream, I mean, just put it all in there. And you know what I do, folks? I get a cup about that big so that I don't have a big cup. But I empty the whole ice cream thing into that one cup, and you squash it down like that. It tastes a lot better, but it doesn't look so big. Boy, do we have our vices. You know, there are vices that we all have that we say, well, it's just going to add on a few pounds here and a few pounds there. But you know, folks, when it comes down to spiritual things, that there are some vices that we have that will destroy us. Do you know there are some vices, some difficulties that you and I have that will kill us? Do you know that there are people in America today who have difficulties that they cannot overcome, and it prevents them from turning their heart and life over to the Lord Jesus Christ? And there are Christian men and women who have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, but the difficulties of their life always prevent them from becoming the kind of man or lady that God intended them to be. I want us to consider Moses for a moment, because there were five difficulties that he overcame. They were hurdles. They were things that would have tripped him up. You're going to say to me, Pastor, how do we know that? We don't know, because we have the value of hindsight. We can go and look at the life of Moses today and we can say, look at a magnificent man. But what if Moses had not overcome these hurdles? What might have happened to him?
You've been listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on the Encouraging Word radio broadcast. You can connect with us online at theencouragingword.org. Hear this message and many others. And, oh, there's still much more to come with Dr. Wilton. Don't go away. He'll be back in just a moment. But he wants me to remind you that we're connecting. We're available for you both online at theencouragingword.org and this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. So many are calling and asking about the promises of praying for others. It's a wonderful resource that really will revolutionize your prayer life. You can visit us online at theencouragingword.org to take a look, or go ahead and call for your copy. Again, the number is 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message, The Magnificent Dead, Part 2, with Dr. Don Wilton.
Number one, there was the hurdle of his parents' fear. There was the hurdle of his parents' fear. Uh-oh. You might say to me today, well, Pastor, wait a minute now. What do you mean you're talking about Moses had to overcome the hurdle of his parents' fear? That's exactly right. That's why God has entrusted to all moms and dads the stewardship of their children. You just consider what happened. Here was Pharaoh. He was king. He was Lord. He was ruler of life and death. He was the great I Am of his day. Long before Moses even made his appearance, Pharaoh would demonstrate what kind of ruler he was. Historians tell us it was not uncommon for great Pharaoh to just usher in a number of people on any given day and just have them executed. You'd say to me, well, what for what reason? He didn't have to have a reason. Sport, fun, demonstrate his power, his authority. And evidently, the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus that there were occasions when Pharaoh would just pass an edict. Sometimes his slaves, these children of Israel, would just start to get out of line. They began to think more of themselves that made him comfortable. And so Pharaoh issued an edict. What was an edict? He just stood there with his scepter and he said, tomorrow kill all the firstborn of the children of Israel. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I can understand a parent's fear, can you not? I wonder, for every one of Moses' parents, how many other parents there were that succumbed to their fear. They were rendered paralyzed, impotent. There was nothing they could do. They were scared into silence. They just stood there helplessly watching as Pharaoh's men came in and executed their firstborn with the sword. What an horrific contemplation, something that would boggle the mind. Folks, you and I become saddened because of terrorist bombings, and we grieve families who have lost people, as we do with those who lost loved ones in 9/11. But can you imagine? Can you imagine the carnage When the soldiers of Pharaoh descend upon the sons and the daughters of the firstborn of Israel and began to execute them and lop their heads off, there was a massacre unprecedented. I can understand parents' fear. You say to me, wait a minute, Pastor, Moses had nothing to do with it. I'm convinced with all my heart that the people that God uses in His kingdom, the people that He elevates to positions of great and illustrious leadership, are many times people who could never become what they are or who they are unless they first pass the test of their parents' fear. I tell you what saddens me, and I say this with all the love in my heart, it saddens me when I find parents who do no parenting when it comes to spiritual things with their children. Folks, I've been among parents who couldn't care less whether their children come to church or not. I can tell you right now in Spartanburg County, I can tell you, my friends, the golf courses are packed, the lakes are packed. There are people in the malls of society today running around, picnicking, having a great time, and parents who couldn't care less about whether or not their babies are in church, growing up in the knowledge and admonition of the Lord. It takes sacrifice and discipline. He had to overcome the hurdle of his parents' fear. My wife and I prayed that there's one thing we pray, and that is that we would never have the blood of our children on our hands. You say, Pastor, you're just getting far too radical here. That's why, friends, I'm passionate. Whether it's the right thing to say or whether it isn't, I am passionate in my conviction about some of the things that our young people do with the permission of their parents. Did you know where your sons and daughters were last night? What time did they get back? Who were they hanging around with? What were they doing? What did you do? What did you do, Mom and Dad? What did you do? What were you doing concerning your sons and your daughters? What were you doing? Moses had to overcome the hurdle of his parents' fear. What was their fear? It was their inadequacy. It was their humanness. Boy, isn't it amazing that what God did in the life of Moses didn't begin in Moses. It began in the heart of a parent who stood up boldly and resolutely and was unashamed to do whatever was necessary when it came to the spiritual well-being of their son. Number two, there was the hurdle of his upbringing. See, the magnificent dead like Moses know what it means to overcome personal difficulties. His first personal difficulty was the matter of his parents' fear. The second was the hurdle of his upbringing. Now, just in case any of you might have missed it, this man had an upbringing such of which many of us cannot identify with. Can you imagine being Pharaoh's grandson? Here, this man had the trappings of society such of which you and I cannot possibly identify with. His grandfather was the most powerful man in the world. He was God himself. People bowed down and worshiped him. They called him Lord God Almighty. They paid homage to him. They gave their lives for him without question. He had power over life and death. Whatever Pharaoh said went. Here's the grandson. What an upbringing. I say with all the love in my heart today that I'm more convinced than I've ever been before that the matter of a person's upbringing is one of the greatest obstacles to people coming to know Jesus Christ in America today. I cannot tell you the numbers of people over the years of my life that I've gone to witness to or that I've encountered in the hallways of life who have said to me, but you don't seem to understand, my preacher. My mama and daddy never did it that way. You don't seem to understand I'm from Georgia. You don't seem to understand I'm just a country boy. You don't seem to understand I grew up in the city. You don't seem to understand this is the way we function. I remember many years ago, a Christian man using foul language in front of me. And I said to him one day, I said, man, I wish you wouldn't speak like that. And he put his hand on my shoulder. He said, look, don't worry about it, man. You need to come to my house at Christmas time when all of us are together. We just grew up talking like this. We just grew up talking like this.
Our time's gone for today, but that hurdle in his upbringing is just the place we'll pick up tomorrow on the next edition of The Encouraging Word. But, you know, there are some things that don't need to wait till tomorrow. We really don't know what tomorrow holds. Is there a decision that God stirred your heart through the broadcast today and the speaking and teaching of Dr. Don Wilton, or perhaps through other things you've heard on this great radio station all day long, and now is the moment God stirred your heart to make a change, to course correct? Boy, we'd love to be your prayer partner in that. You can give us a call right now at 866-899-WORD. The number again, 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with one of us, not just now, but 24 hours a day, ready to talk, to listen, to pray, and connect you with great resources. Just know we're here for you. And before we get away, closing thoughts from our chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey.
Again, if the Lord has spoken to you, let us pray you through whatever's next. The number again is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. As a matter of fact, the first thing you'll see right now online is this amazing opportunity to change our prayer life through the promises of praying for others. Here's Cheryl, the details on how you can get your copy.
Across America, there are different views on when life begins and when it should end. What do you believe? What does the Bible say? When does life really begin? Join Dr. Wilton as he teaches biblical truths with compassion straight from God's Word in his classic and timely message, The Sanctity of Human Life. Plus, you will receive two bonus gifts, Why Pro-Life and Counterculture in a World of Abortion. These powerful ministry resources will help equip you with the facts to see life through the lens of God's Word. Request The Sanctity of Human Life, a classic and timely message on CD, and the bonus gifts for your gift of any amount to The Encouraging Word today. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD, or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Thank you for your support as we continue to proclaim God's truth around the world.